Our thanks always to the choir for the gift of music that they bring into the sanctuary, for the joy that we experience as we see the joy in their faces as they bring beautiful music to all of us. This morning's scripture reading is one that comes to us from the Gospel of St. Luke, and it's a prophetic text that comes from Zechariah. Zechariah is preparing the way by announcing that his baby who has come to him, John the Baptist, the one who has come to him, will prepare the way for the coming of Jesus. Many of you know that Zechariah is the husband of Elizabeth, and Elizabeth is the relative of Mary who gives birth to Jesus. So John the Baptist and Jesus are related in some ways. And so this prophecy comes in a very unexpected way. But a little bit of background for you that will help you to understand this passage. We hear this proclamation from Zechariah. But in essence, the thing that's really important to know is that this comes to us, comes to Zechariah, because of the appearance of an angel. This angel Gabriel that announced the birth of Jesus to Mary and Joseph also came to Zechariah to say that the one who your wife Elizabeth will give birth to will be the one who prepares the way for Jesus. Now, Zechariah and Elizabeth, they were very old, and so were very surprised by this announcement. And in many ways, Zechariah met this announcement with a sense of disbelief. And so strong was this disbelief, the scripture tells us, that the angel Gabriel strikes Zechariah mute for the entire time that they're preparing for the birth of Jesus, of John the Baptist. And it's not until the birth of John the Baptist that Zechariah will be able to recover his words. And what we're hearing in the scripture passage this morning are the first words that come out of Zechariah's mouth as he begins to proclaim who John the Baptist is and what his life means as the one who is the forerunner to the coming of Jesus. In the very same way that we describe Jesus as the one who would bring this transformation and change to the world, John the Baptist would do the very same thing by ushering in and paving the way for Jesus to come into the world. Now, sometimes when I read these passages and a mystical experience happens and an angel appears and something miraculous happens, I want to try to bring it back down to earth. And so I'll ask myself the question, beyond how the scripture reading describes it, is there some other way that I might understand what's happening in the passage? Zechariah is encountering this angel, and this angel strikes him in such a way that it strikes him mute. But the question that I have is, could there have been another reason why he was struck mute? Maybe it was that he was filled with such wonder and awe and amazement that he just lost the ability to speak. God had come to him in an angel and told him that he was chosen of God, that he and Elizabeth would give birth to an important person in the lifetime of Jesus and the experience of those who would experience the fullness of the Messiah. Maybe it was that he was just shocked beyond belief, that he experienced this angel and just was so dumbfounded by the whole experience that he lost his ability to speak. Maybe it was that he was filled with fear, and that fear was so great in him that as he thought about this child, as he thought about the prophecy that was given to him from this angel Gabriel, when Gabriel announces the prophecy of John the Baptist, he compares him to and aligns him with Elijah, one of the great prophets of Israel. You can imagine that. Zechariah must have heard that and thought to himself, my child will be like Elijah? And thought to himself, how can that be? And he was filled with such great fear of the road that his child would walk and the ways that he would experience great hardship and suffering because he brings a message that is not going to be welcomed by the people of Israel and especially by the people of Rome. And maybe it was that fear that caused him to lose his ability to speak. It's unclear in the passage. It describes it as a mystical experience because of the angel who strikes him mute, but maybe it is that the reason was more earthbound. It had to do with something that was going on inside of Zechariah, and that as he experienced this presence of God and the potential for them to experience the birth of one who would be the forerunner to Jesus, that he found himself without voice, without words, dumbfounded to be able to speak. As I was thinking about that and putting it in that context, I was preparing for the message, what came to me was a remembrance of a concept that comes out of Korean culture and historical experience. And that is described in a word called Han. Han is an experience that comes out of the hardship and suffering of Korean peoples as they experienced imperialism coming from Japan, as they experienced hardship in that Korean peninsula, as they experienced oppression and suffering. They experienced it and articulated as this word, Han. Now, Han does not have a direct translation into English, but it describes a kind of despair, a deep sadness, and a longing, and this feeling that somehow in their being wronged, that they are filled with a sense of anger. But the thing that's important about Han is to know that Han articulated itself by being turned inward. And rather than it being something that a person would scream out about, in fact, Han is drawn inside, almost to the point where there are no words that can describe it. And I thought to myself, I wonder if that's what Zechariah was experiencing, this sense of this word, Han, that it wasn't just disbelief, it also came out of and touched a place of despair in him, a sense of sorrow and sadness. You can imagine for Zechariah that he and Elizabeth had been praying for years that they would be blessed with a child. And over they prayed, and over they hoped, and yet that promise never came to pass. And so when the angel announces that they're going to give birth, maybe it was that for Zechariah, his disbelief came out of a sense of despair, of having prayed for a child and never having received this gift. Maybe that despair came out of his experience of a person who, as one who experienced suffering and hardship at the hands of the Roman government, maybe it was that the despair came out of the promise of the Messiah that they had heard over and over and over and over and over again, and instead experienced the absence of God rather than the presence of God. And so when the angel promised that the Messiah was on his way and their son John would be the one who would articulate and pave the way so that Jesus could do a ministry that would transform the world. Maybe for Zechariah, he experienced that as despair because he would say to himself, we've heard this promise before. It's come out before. We've heard before about a Messiah who would come to bring God's presence and change the world. And so much so did he not believe that promise that it raised in him a spirit of despair, a sense of longing, even a sense of anger at the ways that his people had been oppressed, and felt that this promise that he was hearing from an angel, it was the promise that he had heard over and over and over again, and so was filled with a sense of sorrow and despair. Now, it doesn't say that in the passage, but in many ways, I wonder if that might be what causes him to go mute, that it's not just the word, not the presence of the angel who would strike him mute, but it is the promise of the angel that reminds him of all that is missing in his life. The child who would bring them joy, the Messiah who would bring their people into the presence of God. And in experiencing all of that longing, that sense of despair and sadness and hopelessness, that he experienced this sense of Han and found that he had no words to speak. And so when this child is born, then a transformation overcomes him, and he begins to speak again. And not only does he speak words that come to him from this angel, but he understands most clearly what the meaning of this child's life is. It is the fulfillment of a promise that has been made not just to him, but to the people of Israel. And so much so that did that make him come to believe that this child was a gift from God and this child would be the one who would usher in the presence of Christ, that he was filled with words and began to articulate them as prophecy and began to say them in such a way that he truly believed all that the angel had promised him. In the context of Korean Han, there's another word that goes along with this, and that is the word Don. And Don is to articulate a way of cutting off Han, to break the cycle of despair and sorrow and loneliness, and to find that there is hope. And so Don describes the idea that while we are in Han, we long for the dawn to come to break that cycle of despair and hopelessness that we are in, so that we might experience what Andrew Sung Park, theologian Andrew Sung Park, describes as revolutionary consciousness, that we would come to believe that there is more to life than what we are experiencing now, and that we place our hopes in the idea that a new day will be born, and in the theological context of Korean culture, that we come to understand dawn as coming because God intersects into our history and brings a word of hope that says your despair is coming to an end. Your sorrow will cease. Your hopelessness, it will go away because I am coming to you to bring you a word of life. And I am coming to you to bring a spirit of hope. And so it is dawn that brings this revolutionary consciousness that says a new day is about to be born. For all of us, as we think about it in that context, when we think about this passage in this way, we all have known Han in our life, haven't we? When we've lost a loved one and found that that loss is so deep that no words can come from them. We've experienced Han when we have experienced brokenness in our lives, that we find that sense of brokenness that feels beyond repair and feel that pain so deeply that no words can be spoken. We've experienced Han when we feel unjustly accused, when we find ourselves not able to fulfill the promises of this life and feel that somehow we live at a disadvantage, that we find ourselves in Han when we are experiencing that and know that our sense of sorrow is great, so much so that we cannot speak words. If we think about it in that context, then we can totally identify ourselves with Gabriel in this passage and find ourselves in life situations where we have no words because all we experience is a sense of sorrow and despair and suffering in such a powerful way that we have no words to speak. But the passage today reminds us again as well that in the context of Han, so will dawn be born, a breaking of that cycle of despair that brings hope again. And that's what Zechariah is articulating in the passage today. He is saying that it is through the presence of God that will come through John the Baptist and will come through Jesus that I break the cycle of Han with this dawn. And in dawn will come a new day. In that will be born a transformation and a hope. And we will come to discover the gift of this presence and how it desires to change our lives and this world. And so in this season of Advent, my question to you is, what is your Han in your life right now? Where are you experiencing that sense of sorrow and despair, so much so that there are no words to speak? Where are you experiencing brokenness in your heart, so much so that you wonder where hope will be found? And maybe it is that you might not be experiencing that sense of Han, but we live in a time in our world where we are experiencing Han everywhere around us, in global conflicts, in the separation between rich and poor, finding ourselves struggling to understand who we are as Americans in the context of immigration experiences, struggling to understand how it is that we can deal with things like poverty and homelessness in our lives. We drive down the street, we see it everywhere, and we recognize that it creates in us a spirit of Han, a sense of despair and sorrow, because we feel like there's nothing that can be done to help to bring a transformation and a hope to these situations. That Han is great inside of us as we witness this outside of us in our world and recognize that a change has got to come. In this season of Advent, what we are praying for, like Zechariah, is for the dawn to come, the breaking of that cycle of despair and suffering. And that is what Zechariah is promising through John the Baptist and through the presence of Jesus. And so as we come through the season of Advent, our prayer is that we would be able to touch our places of Han, where we are experiencing sorrow and despair in our lives, and know we wait for the light to come in a way that would give us hope. We walk around our community. We look in the faces of those who are suffering all around us, and we see Han everywhere. And the question that we ask ourselves is, when will dawn come? When will that cycle break and find that hope can be born again? In the season of Advent, we prepare ourselves for the coming of dawn in Christ Jesus, who will be born to us. We experience that and know that that is what Jesus comes into the world to do, is to break that cycle of Han and to bring dawn into our midst so that we might experience it as the rebirthing of a new day and find that hope can be born again amongst us. We experience that in our history and in our stories. This last week, December 7th, for me, always brings feelings of a remembrance. For our country, December 7th reminds folks that of the bombing of Pearl Harbor. And what gets commemorated most of the time is the bravery of those who gave their lives in Pearl Harbor when Japan attacked the United States of America. But for Issei's and Nisei's, for the first and second generation Japanese Americans, December 7th also brings a deeper memory. And that is a memory that creates within them Han. That memory is of a community that was held in great suspicion, that faced great racism, that experienced war hysteria, and found themselves questioned about their citizenship, about their loyalty, about whether they wanted to be Americans in their lives. Many of you have heard stories of first-generation Japanese Americans who could not talk about their experience. So devastating was the experience of this suspicion and being rounded up and thrown into concentration camps. So devastating was that experience that no words could be spoken to describe it. That is the experience of Han. Many of you have heard that there are folks who cannot go back to Minidoka, who cannot go back to the fairgrounds, because it brings back such hurtful and devastating memories. And it raises within them this Han again. And it was amongst the Niseis, the second generation Japanese Americans, where the conversations began to happen. It was more difficult for them to talk about it. It was true, they were a lot younger in their own lives, and yet they could articulate the stories. But their belief was, as long as we tuck those stories away and hide them away, they will go away, and they will not affect us in our lives. But found instead that it continued to be a wound that was unhealed inside of them. And then it was second generation leaders in the community, and it was the third generation that began to say, we need to hear those words, the words of sorrow and despair and suffering, because that will bring dawn. That will bring a breaking of the cycle of despair and hopelessness that you experienced in your life, and it will be a rebirthing of our community. It was second generation leaders and third generation folks that brought about the dialogues about what that concentration camp experience meant. It was those folks who brought forth the redress movement. And it was those folks who began to experience a rebirthing of this revolutionary consciousness that gave birth to the community in a new way, because they were able to speak the words that their ancestors could not speak. And so today we articulate it in the very same way. We know what Han means, and we are waiting for the birth of dawn in our lives, breaking that cycle, and knowing that it is in this breaking of the cycle that the revolutionary consciousness would come to us, and that we would, in knowing the presence of Christ coming into our midst, experience that transformation right before us. My prayer this day is that we would touch that Han in the season of Advent, that we would speak in our hearts those words, even if we cannot articulate them, that we would experience the Han of our community that's suffering great brokenness and hardship in this day, and know that that cycle has to end, That is what Jesus, the Messiah, comes into the world to do. And so we prepare ourselves for that coming and know that the transformation that will come over us will make us people of that revolutionary consciousness that can carry that consciousness into the world and bring the transformation that Christ seeks to bring for a whole world. And so we wait and we hope. We touch Han in our lives and wait for dawn to come and know that will be in us the rebirthing of a new day, a day of hope and promise that comes to us through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Let's join together for a word of prayer. Gracious God, we come to you acknowledging that we are people who are experiencing and who have experienced suffering and hardship and despair, so much so that there are times where no words can be spoken. We experience it in the loss of loved ones. We experience it in brokenness in our families. We experience it as we drive our cars through our community and see it all around us. We feel like Gabriel. We feel like Zechariah in so many ways as Gabriel speaks to us. For we seek, O God, a new word when we are held mute by the power of Han in our lives. And so you promise, O God, to us that John the Baptist will come into the world to prepare the way for Jesus. And we know that that is for us the birth of a new day. That birth will come with many difficult birth pains. We know that there will be many times of hardship and trial and struggle in this birth. But we pray, O God, that we can allow this birth to overtake us so that we would bring forth in this the birth of a new day. It is not easy for us to imagine this, O God. In so many ways, it is a struggle for us to think of our lives in that way, to think of our world in that way, that your presence through the Christ who will be born to us each and every day has the power to change our lives in this world. That is what you promised to us in the birth of Jesus. It is difficult for us to imagine that, O God, and yet we continue to hold out hope. And we pray, O God, that you would fill us with that hope each and every day as we wait and watch and hope. We pray, O God, that you would allow your Spirit to touch the Han in our lives and bring forth the dawn, bring forth the new day that will enable us to know, O God, that your promises are true and that Christ has come to change our world forever. We pray, O God, that you'd be with us in this as we continue to prepare our hearts for the coming of Christ. Each Sunday, each day in Advent, help us, O God, to move closer and closer to the manger, to know that when we finally come into that manger and experience the birth of Christ once again, that our lives will never be the same. We pray these things, O God, to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.